from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
The Parkins and Spiegel Show.
If y'all ready, give me a hell yeah.
Oh, hell yeah.
I told you last segment, my confidence, my belief has never been lower on this Cubs team.
Giants win it. A walk-off walk.
Lower.
Man, it is low right now. Here's Cliff Floyd from the Marquee Local postgame last night.
As soon as the team gets down early, it feels like it's 10-0. It feels like the fight is gone.
Damn. 312-644-6767. Jake in Lake Geneva on 670 The Score. What's up, Jake?
The thrill is gone.
Sing it, Jake.
The thrill is gone.
Yeah.
The
thrill is gone.
Hey, man, I don't do this every day. I listen to you guys talk about it. So I take the information that's provided that you get from people who supposedly know.
Yeah.
And then I formulate my opinions, and then I sit on the phone and wait 10 or 15 minutes to talk to you about it. And you do a great job of explaining it, and you treat me respectfully. So I think the thrill is with you guys. I think the thrill is with you.
Dad, thanks so much for coming on today. Love you so much.
That was awesome, whoever that was.
Oh, the thrill is gone. Baby's gone. Away for good.
I have to hear that song again.
He's trying.
It's a very different song.
Getting that gravel going. Had some Len Casper in it.
Yeah.
The thrill is gone.
So, Ernie.
The thrill is gone.
Oh, baby.
That's funny.
One, two, three.
And here we go, Jim. Here we go. Here we go, Jim.
Here we go, Tony.
The Parkins and Spiegel Show. Afternoons from 2 to 6 on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
That little "that's funny" drop from Benetti doing the Len Casper impression. That was the one thing that we didn't hit on Benetti Bingo today when he was on. But if you missed our conversation with Benetti or Nico Horner from earlier in the show, you could use the rewind feature to go back and listen. Something you can only do in the Odyssey app. Download the app, search 670 The Score, and tap earlier today to get started.
That's funny.
Not going to lie, I use that Odyssey app all the time. It's great.
That's good.
It's a really good app.
As an employee of Odyssey.
Not just that. Like if I check in sometimes, like, all right, what did I miss on Mullion? And I see the segments all written up nice and clean by the podcaster. And, you can go back and listen to stuff. It's extremely useful.
Yeah, pick and choose. Get your Biggs time. Get your Bruce Levine reports, whatever you might need.
John Heyman yesterday.
There you go. All things that would be there for you. Mm. Did you agree that last night felt inevitable for the Cubs? Were you expecting it? Because I'm taking no pride in it. This wasn't I didn't bet on it. This isn't a Holmes maneuver situation. I'm not saying that. But I will say, confidence level was pretty low in the Parkins household last night.
I didn't think it was plausible that it would happen again.
Really?
I mean, it's exactly the same kind of gut shot. Yeah, I mean, you know me, Danny. I default to the positive sometimes. I think it is a practical way to live, and I feel better when I'm in that space as well. And I thought it was, look, I talked to Colton Brewer the other day on Hit and Run. It's the guy.
That's cool.
He's a new guy. Like, oh my God, journeyman Colton Brewer. Pitched for the Red Sox, the Yankees, and the Hanshin Tigers in Japan last year.
Oh, signed with the country, right?
Yeah. It's a new thing I'm trying to do. But Colton Brewer, I'm like, oh, man, he's the guy. He's the guy. So here's an opportunity for Colton Brewer. But, you know, it was the classic script, wasn't it? Leaving a lot of possible runs out there on the bases. The starter was great. Tyson Miller with 8 pitches to get out of the 8th could have just stuck with Tyson Miller, Craig. That's an option that you could have done. You've done that before.
You've done that before. Yeah, it was an option
where he continues, but got to give Colton Brewer a chance, but it's not like Craig has many good options. And we'll get to that part.
I don't think you have to give anyone a chance. I just think that the options are, they're not good. Smiley's not a good option. Brewer's not a good option. And Miller isn't even that good of an option.
They all knew. They all knew what the option was. Listen to Colton Brewer from Hit and Run the other day, because it was his first save ever. Last week, his first save ever. Dude's 31 years old. He's been around for a while, been a reliever for a long time. First save ever. So I asked him if he was going to get the chance on Sunday, if there's a save situation.
I don't know. I think it could be any one of us now. So I don't know. We'll see.
Man, it's fascinating. Could be any one of us. Could be anybody. They don't know. Council doesn't know.
You're fascinating at the end of that. He's doing a lot of heavy lifting.
Oh. A lot of heavy lifting.
I mean,
it's like the interesting that he threw in there with the Bukshambi interview. Interesting? I don't know. Because it's not fascinating. It's depressing. It's embarrassing. They got a $228 million payroll and no closer.
But it's fascinating that Council hasn't locked in on anybody. And it is not telling them that he's locked in on anybody, because he has admitted, and most people admit, it's good to know what your role is, but they don't know what their role is. So is this Craig Council's choice? But I thought Council was on the same level as Jed Hoyer. So is this Jed Hoyer's choice? So that's what's in my head then. And I've done a lot of thinking about it since then. And certainly after they blow another one last night, this is on Jed. As an organization, how do you have no option here on June 24th that you feel good about? Nothing. You don't have Hector Neris that you could decide to go back to. You could have last night, but you decided you don't want to. It shouldn't be Keegan Thompson. It's Colton Brewer. It's not Drew Smiley. He's miscast. There's none of the injured guys with Merriweather and Almonte.
And now Leiter.
But still, Danny, there's nobody in the minors that you could have decided to give a shot to here and given your guy an option, and you haven't gone out to get somebody in a trade without, you're just going to let it happen again and again and again. And I know I was a guy saying, don't go make a trade, but like, I'm not the guy in charge. That was just an opinion. Here we are. Your manager has nobody. There's no choice that feels like it makes a lick of sense to close out your ninth inning. How can you do that as a baseball infrastructure? Have your team with no pitcher knowing who it's going to be and your manager just freaking guessing on the course of a night. It's crazy.
How about a couple of solutions, man?
I've told you. How is Michael Arias not up here giving a shot? How is Ethan Roberts not up here given a shot? I mean, the only two other relievers who have options in the minors, Daniel Palencia, we know that Bernstein can't, that's based on last year, and Porter Hodge, who I don't think is special. None of them are, but
none of them are special.
Ethan Roberts has possible swing and miss stuff. Michael Arias at least comes from a weird arm slot and is somebody that the prospect overlords have talked about. How have we not given those guys a shot? How do they release Carl Edwards Jr. with absolutely no chance to give him a shot?
Well, okay, so in that sense, then you believe that the pitching infrastructure is bad.
You believe
that they are wrong about a guy that they have all of the proprietary data on, that they are watching, that they have seen.
No, what I believe, that's not what I'm saying.
Well, it's not Carl Edwards Jr. has caught on elsewhere and is all of a sudden lighting the big leagues on fire.
What I believe, I'm disappointed with the lack of roster churn in this aspect. You have decided to just roll with what you have. I mean, they've done some work. I know Tyson Miller brought in. Colton Brewer was a minor league deal at the beginning. Luke Little's been up and down. Keegan Thompson's been up and down. But you've seen that movie. I need more desperation. We're at a point in the year where I want to see more desperation and more freaking options out there. Because none of them are good.
I agree that none of the options are good. And I think when people say this, are you defending Jed? Are you a Cubs apologist? My thing is, man, can a player perform? Can a veteran player perform? Can Keegan Thompson perform? Can Hector Neris perform? Can Drew Smiley perform? When these other guys were there, before Alzolay got hurt, he couldn't perform. Now, Leiter was, but Almonte did not.
And Leiter was bad for like his last four appearances.
Yeah, yes, exactly. So he took even the shine off of him, even though he was the best relief pitcher. He was bad, and then he got hurt. So That is what? It's four serious injuries to relief pitchers, right? Merriweather, now Leiter, Almonte, and Alzolay.
And you could add Ben Brown, who might have been a closer option.
Yeah, no, good point.
And you could add Cade Horton, who probably would have been a bullpen option by now. For sure. So, you know, they're ravaged by injuries, without a doubt.
It's not a defense of the org, but six injuries to bullpen options, including a guy like in Cade Horton, that would be an aggressive ahead of schedule call up for not his long term role.
Right, but it might have made all the sense in the world. Teams do it all the time. We know that Jed was wanting to do it last year.
Right. So it's not an excuse. It doesn't make them look very good. Maybe there's something in the org about, are they not doing the right thing with strength and conditioning, or keeping guys healthy, or not scouting the right players? Now, I know pitchers get hurt everywhere. It's the nature of the beast. But are they having a disproportionate number of injuries? Council has spoken to. It's absolutely a valid question, and it's something that we talk about. It's not an excuse. It is a simple fact of, man, they are so bad at pitching right now. They have so few options that they chose to let Carl Edwards Jr. go. Mm-hmm. And are they wrong? Like, is he caught on somewhere else and he's getting saves?
No.
And getting big outs? They are out of options.
His walk rate was terrible in the minors. I mean, maybe. It's possible that Carl Edwards Jr. has no business in the majors anymore. He has certainly bounced around. But
who's the guy? I forget his name. We asked Carter about him. Went to the Cubs, released him.
Jeremiah Estrada.
Estrada.
I'm looking at him right now. He's had a couple bad outings.
Get him down there. See what he's got in your arm.
I was like, Jeremiah Paprocki's not the right answer. Don't say Jeremiah Paprocki. Don't say Jeremiah Estrada.
Jeremiah Estrada is part of, you know, I pushed back when you put the words in my mouth that I was doubting the pitching infrastructure, but I have my moments of doubting the pitching infrastructure.
And by the way, that's fine.
Because Jeremiah Estrada has been really good for the Padres over the course of the year. Two bad outings over the course of this month where he's given up multiple earned runs. But it's been 20 strikeouts in 9 1/3 innings this month after 23 strikeouts and 11 2/3 last month. And as Carter Hawkins said to us, the Padres taught him a splitter and the Cubs missed on that one. He admitted it flat out.
And by the way, it's fine if you're doubting the pitching infrastructure, but then that comes with, what does that mean about the starters who have been so good? What does that mean about Steele and Assad and the correct scout of Shota and all of those things? So like, I don't believe that. I think that they have invested a ton in the pitching infrastructure and a director of pitching and top to bottom organizational overhaul of it. I think that they have had way too many injuries, certainly have not gotten aggressive in like jumping the trade market, which is a legitimate criticism. There are not a bunch of trades that are happening right now across Major League Baseball. Like, they haven't called the A's and said, hey, take our top three prospects for Miller, whatever.
No, but have they called the Washington Nationals and seen what they wanted for Kyle Finnegan? I don't know. I sure as hell hope so.
Yeah.
You know, because you're watching it slip away. I feel like you are watching it slip away, and I do not feel like there is desperation. And when you've got a bullpen where nobody believes that they're the guy necessarily, and you've got a manager where nobody knows over the course of a night. And then, I mean, he goes with Colton Brewer, but then bails on him. When Patrick Bailey announces a pinch hitter, he's like, okay, let me go get the lefty. Let me go get Smiley. And then they have more pinch hitters after that, and Smiley couldn't find the plate, and it's a freaking disaster.
Oh, and again, it is a disaster. I agree. Like, I just don't think it's crazy that they haven't named a closer for the purposes of like having a defined role. Someone has to earn it. So someone has to pitch well for back-to-back outings. Like, I'm not asking for the highest bar in the world to clear here, but who, if you were Craig Counsell, who is your closer?
Yeah, no, I'm looking more at Jed than I am at Craig.
I'm saying
as of right now, with Ben Brown hurt,
yes, tonight, who is your closer, Matt Spiegel, tonight?
It's not an easy question to answer definitively with confidence. I'll throw it out to anybody.
I don't even know.
It could be on the text line. It could be on Twitter. It could be to the anybody. Yeah, anyone want to?
I think it could be any one of us.
Yeah. That's not a ridiculous answer given how these guys have performed.
It's the actual answer from the guy who got a chance in the ninth last night.
But so
it could be any of us.
But if you were out here being like, no, it should be Keegan Thompson, and you were going to bang the table for Keegan Thompson, okay, I would listen to the case.
Yeah.
But that, I know you don't feel that way.
No.
I know you don't feel that way for Naris.
I don't feel that way for Hayden Wesneski.
Hell no.
Right now.
Guy gives up bombs every time he's in.
I didn't want to see Colton Brewer leave the game last night. With first and second and one out,
and
having survived.
You thought he was a no one.
But having survived last night, survived a base hit and a walk, he's got first and second, one out. I was like, hey, you know, go ahead. Let Tyson Miller go. Then it's let Colton Brewer go, because it's not like other guys can do anything in particular. I think there is an arrogance to the way that this organization thinks about bullpens. They think that their bullpen building machine, that their pitch lab and their development infrastructure can just make relievers out of nothing. And they've done it a couple of times. So they really believe that. But it's just, it hasn't happened. And I thought there'd be more aggression. Look, Luke Little is an aggressive promotion through the system. Daniel Palencia, extremely aggressive promotion through the system. Feel like there should have been more of that over the course of this last month with some other dudes who are down there. Michael Arias promoted to AAA. I feel like he should be up. So I just think it's crazy to be a team on the 24th of June with absolutely no one in the organization that you feel good about giving the ninth inning right now. None.
Can I give you something that is also absurd about the Cubs? I want to tell you about my day at Wrigley on Saturday.
I'd like to hear about it.
Okay. So
you brought a big pile of kids.
Too many kids. Two of them. It was two kids.
And you had them.
I know. Trust me.
I mean, Steph had them.
Steph had them. I was there for the delivery and the conception. Everything else, cheated.
I'm glad you were there for the conception.
I just wanted to clarify. So, you know, Sing take me out of the ballgame to them. They got some Cubs gear.
That was Owen's favorite song for a while.
Yeah, his favorite song. So we're like, all right. So Owen's been to a couple of Cubs games. Eli hasn't yet been to a Cubs game. But favorite thing in the world for him, choo-choos. Kid loves trains. So we're like, all right, this is going to be great. We are going to, on Saturday, we're going to drive to Linden, go purple line to red line, show up after first pitch, but try to time it so that we get there at like 1:30, 1:40, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Go to our seats, got seats, nothing special, like 200 level in the outfield so that we're, you know, don't spend a bunch of money on tickets. We're under the overhang because it's 1,000 degrees outside. And so we have some shade. But one of the big selling points to Owen, other than take me out of the ballgame, is ice cream in a helmet. Kid is obsessed.
It tastes better in a helmet.
He's talking about ice cream in a helmet the night before. Ice cream in a helmet on the train down. Ice cream. He's locked in that he's getting ice cream in a helmet. Dude, we're gonna get you ice cream in a helmet. So we get there. We get to the seats. We'll start with a hot dog. All right, fine, but I want ice cream and helmets. We get the hot dog. Fine, no problem. Then it's going to be, hey, we're going to go meet Clark the Cub.
Is he a fan? Did he dig it?
He's like, I've already met him. He was fine. Clark the Cub picked him up. We took an adorable picture. Eli was very confused as to what was going on.
Clark, big listener to the show. This is a true story. When Danny threw out the first pitch, and I was the umpire, and Clark was the catcher, Clark looked at us excitedly and brought his hands to his ears to indicate headphones, meaning that he listens. Non-verbally did that.
Did it again.
Nice.
Steph, not a huge fan of mascots.
Well, and this one doesn't wear pants.
And the idea that there was someone in there who knew me, but I didn't. She was like, well, so do you know who Clark is? I'm like, no, I've never met him before in my life. I have no idea who it is. She's like, that's very freaky. I'm like, yeah, that's fine.
He slides into Shane's DM sometimes.
I've met him one time.
Oh, you have?
Oh, yeah. I met him at a bar.
I forgot that you met Clark in the wild.
And I've only ever told Nico Horner his name. Nico didn't even know his name.
How did he drink the beer at the bar?
He was out of the costume.
Oh. Yeah.
So we get back from meeting Clark the Cub. Okay. And Owen at this point is just, you know, he's like having a good time. But again, ice cream cup. So I say, Steph, hey, do you want to take him or do you want me to take him? Ice cream cup. She's like, I'll take him. So I'm with Eli in the seats. She goes down to the
the spot, waits in the whole line for it.
Oh, God, yeah.
Ice cream machine is out.
Oh, my God, of course.
So brings him back up.
What is this, a McDonald's?
Dude, nightmare.
Freaking nightmare.
Nightmare.
By the way, Texter says that your kids have seen Uncle Matt do everything in a helmet, so that's why.
That's exactly right.
They're in on the ice cream.
Okay, so now
yes,
it's my mission. Promise this kid ice cream in a helmet.
Oh, boy.
But we've got an expiration date on when Eli is skipping a nap. The seventh inning stretch is fast approaching. We are leaving the second this song is over. I've got to find him ice cream in a cup. No joke. We are in right field 200 level.
Okay.
The first place I could find ice cream is 100 level left field. I don't know what you know about ice cream and cups. So I am walking Owen.
Well, cups is one thing, but helmets another.
Helmets. The length of Wrigley Field to go get this ice cream. Then we're waiting in line.
You're bringing soup back home.
Soup. And get through the line. Get the ice cream. Get two bowls of ice cream with it. He is parched. He could not believe how long this took, this adventure. I'm like, dude, here, just start taking it. Out of spoons. So I plastic forks to melted ice cream. And I am, it's 90 degrees. He's a little dude. I'm trying to get us back to the seats before the seventh inning stretch. So I am carrying him and two cups of fastly melting soft serve ice cream. It is all over me.
Of course
front,
it is.
Back, he is holding it. It's all over him.
And that's when I ran into Roy Wood Jr.
It is when I ran into Roy Wood
Jr. No, really?
100%. Dude, I'm holding my kid with two melted ice cream things trying to get back from the seventh inning stretch. See Roy Wood. He's like, hey, you coming to the show tonight? Yeah. Like, I'm not coming to the show tonight. I got it. He's like, okay, go be a dad. Dude, Wrigley Field. I love you. We got to get the ice cream machines working when it's 95 degrees, and we got to have spoons. We can't have a spoon shortage. How am I going to eat melted soft serve ice cream with a fork?
You're not.
Okay, so the fun thing that I don't know if you guys know this about ice cream, when it melts, it then just turns into a milkshake. Drink it.
We drank it, but it spills when you're walking with two of them and a four-year-old across Wrigley Field.
Did you not trust him to hold one?
I wouldn't.
Have you met children?
Yeah.
Yeah, walking through large crowds and upstairs.
See, the problem with children is that they can't really do anything.
Yeah, they're so dependent.
They're so bad at stuff.
All right, so let me get something straight.
For a long time.
You've been pitching this as, man, what a nightmare, taking two kids to Wrigley on a Saturday, hot day. My wife's with me. I only really was watching the one because Eli was back with Steph.
Yeah.
So the biggest problem was the ice cream machine was out.
Yeah,
that was the nightmare. This is the nightmare of bringing children to Wrigley.
Nightmare.
Damn, should have gone to the cell. Love that campfire milkshake.
Yeah, they start with melted ice cream. That's what they do. They lead with it.
Turn it into the shake.
They pre-melt it for you.
You don't need spoons for that.
Yeah, they even give you a campfire with it. Like, it's a whole campfire, right? Do I have this correct?
I watched none of the game.
How did Eli take it? Was he pumped? Like, did he like it enough?
He was not afraid of the crowd. He dug it. He was a good. He was a trooper with everything. It was, you know, we'd never just like taken him right through, skipped the whole night. Yeah, he was great.
Great.
He was great, but didn't really get it. Didn't really understand where he was.
And when you pitched it, I thought maybe like Owen fought a homeless man, and that's like why it was so bad. And like
we had to do a little. We had to
acquire a crowd.
There was a guy on the red line home who just started smoking a cigarette right next to us.
I was told that doesn't happen
on the train.
In Peter's ponderings yesterday, I was told I was lying about people lighting up on the.
The guy didn't have a dog. He didn't have a dog though, right?
I said that's
what it was. A dog smoking.
That's right.
It was Triumph the dog. Whatever you call it.
Insult.
It really chaps my ass is when there's a dog there. I don't mind the crack.
Yeah, I was told that was a bad that people just lie about that.
No, I said to Steph, I was like, hey, let's get off at the next stop. And she was looking at me like, it's not our next stop. And we just got off and then got right back on the train in the next car where there wasn't someone smoking a cigarette right next to a 2-year-old. Okay.
But by the way, Shane, I heard about your incident with the dog on the train on multiple radio stations.
Did you happen to hear it this morning on our direct competitor and they named me by name?
I thought that was very nice of them to promote our show.
I think we need to take the producers from our competitor to radio school and then we'll teach them that you don't mention your competitors by name.
You know, teachers at the radio school, or at least he used to, is our guy Dustin. Dustin could really. Oh, here's what you do. You don't want to talk about the competitors as a producer and wear a vest. Oh, what a moment! You know, it's like it could really take care of.
Really not good. A great track record of those Illinois media school kids coming through here. So,
oh man,
oh boy,
yeah. Well,
kind of strayed away from that.
Where is that?
That's why Peter, U of I.
Oh, there
you go. Yeah.
Yep. New yeah. crop.
Can't wait for the good ponderings.
Yeah, Radio School, Peter, don't talk about the competitors and name the individuals by name.
Right, it's why it's why I never bring up Wojo on this show. I just never do it.
We mention Cap sometimes. It's fine, but I break the rules also. Spieg says he's got
a killer mentality.
That's when we mention him. We mention him when he has the dog killer mentality.
Dog killer mentality.
I don't know if I want a player like that. I mean, if he's a dog or he's got a killer mentality, I'll consider it. But a dog killer mentality, yeah. It's very specific. And he's going to pick on someone your own size.
It's mean. We like our dogs on the L around here. We don't like dog killer mentality. We do have a category that is too tough for categories, according to Matt Spiegel. Next on The Score.
The Parkinson Spiegel Show.
We can erase it from the FCC.
Afternoons on The Score.
10 seconds left. 2-1 Panthers. A dream 30 years in the making is a reality. Oh! The Florida Panthers have won the Stanley Cup.
Lord Stanley is coming home. You always will have a place in South Florida. Oh, my God.
The Panthers have won the Stanley Cup for the first time in franchise history.
Yeah!
I hadn't heard that. That's a great call.
Florida Panthers local radio celebrating the Stanley Cup final.
That's fun.
Incredibly, the Edmonton Oilers came back and forced a game 7 after being down 3-0.
Yep.
And the category, Danny, that's way too tough for categories, but I found myself thinking about this morning, is players from the losing team who have won the MVP in either the series or the championship game in the 4 major sports. Because Connor McDavid, not Connor McDoink, very, very different person.
Yeah.
Or Connor McKnight. Connor McDavid won the Conn Smythe Trophy as the Stanley Cup playoffs MVP.
2:00, and from the Chicago Wolves Update Studio, I'm Connor McKnight.
Got his own name wrong.
It's an incredible moment.
It really is.
Well, there's no way to know who
I'm Connor McDoink.
I thought he should have gotten the TV job.
Who am I?
I'm Connor McDoink.
I'm Connor McKnight.
I'm Connor McDoink.
I'm Ron Burgundy. Who put a question mark on the prompter?
So,
high profile one, obviously, maybe the most famous one, right? Jerry West.
Jerry West is the only NBA player to win finals MVP on the losing team.
Yep. And side note, just sidebar here. I saw Barstool Big Cat put it out there, but I had the same thought last night when it was announced. I just didn't put it on Twitter, so I will credit him. What do you do with the trophy? It's a big trophy. That's not like a plaque. It's not a medal. It's not a ring. You don't put it in a drawer. Like the Conn Smythe Trophy is a trophy case trophy. You celebrating it? Like if you're Connor McDavid, or do you just like have to like give that to your parents?
No.
I don't know that I could have it in the house. I think it's like a reminder of not winning the Stanley Cup.
Because here's the thing. It's not just for the Stanley Cup final. It's for the entirety of the playoffs.
I know, but it would still be a reminder that you didn't win the cup.
Yeah. He had 8 goals and 34 assists, 42 points in 25 games.
Set the assist record, right?
For a single postseason.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he's one of the greatest hockey players ever. He's great.
So here's my question, and there's others in the NHL who've done it. I believe he's the 6th, Jean-Sebastien Giguère of the Anaheim Mighty Ducks in 2003. Ron Hextall, I remember that happening when the 87 Flyers lost in the Stanley Cup final to the Gretzky Oilers, and everybody's like, this rookie goalie was outrageous.
Yeah.
He almost beat the Oilers. He didn't, but let's give him the award. Reggie Leach of the Flyers, Glenn Hall of the Blues in 68, and Roger Crozier, not Roger Bozard, but Roger Crozier for the 1966 Red Wings. So it could happen again in the NHL because it's for the entirety of the playoffs.
Right.
I don't know if it's ever going to happen again in the Super Bowl where it's only happened one time. Chuck Howley, the 1971 Super Bowl, the Cowboys lost to the Baltimore Colts. But he had 2 interceptions in a game that has since been dubbed the Blunder Bowl. Chuck Howley is the only one.
And the one when it should have happened in the NBA recently,
yes, you know,
is LeBron.
LeBron James
against the Warriors.
He led
both teams in all five statistical categories: points, rebounds, assists, blocks, steals, and they gave it to Iguodala
because Iguodala held him,
kind of guarded him well in a few games.
LeBron James led all players in all five categories.
Yeah, against a super team.
Yes.
Yeah,
and so he didn't win it,
and he didn't win it. So LeBron should have won that Finals MVP if they were going to give it to Iguodala. If they would have given it to Steph Curry, I would have understood. But giving it to Iguodala was completely ridiculous.
It's happened once in the World Series. Bobby Richardson of the Yankees in 1960 won World Series Most Valuable Player. He's the only one on a losing team. So I don't think it's ever going to happen in baseball. I don't think it's ever going to happen again in the NBA.
I mean, if LeBron didn't get it, it's hard to imagine. Super Bowl.
It's hard to imagine that too. To me, there's like, it's become a thing where it feels, it's an assumption that it's on the winning team, you know, that it has to be on the winning team.
So what's the scenario? So a Super Bowl scenario would have to be a very weird set of circumstances. Like if you played a game that was high scoring, like Chiefs Eagles, Mahomes had an amazing game. But if Mahomes didn't, like if they scored a special teams touchdown, a passing touchdown, a rushing touchdown, mm-hmm. and scored on a trick play or something like that, and then Jalen Hurts had 300 yards passing, 3 rushing touchdowns, and a passing touchdown, but he was on the losing team. Like, you know, one quarterback has 300 yards and 4 touchdowns,
sure,
but the winning team, they have 5 touchdowns from 5 different people.
Sure, and there's two fumble recovery touchdowns or something like that.
By two different players.
By non-quarterbacks, yeah.
You know what I mean? So that I could see a quarterback on a losing team doing it in a very particular
scenario.
Yeah, very particular.
I mean, MLB, if somebody threw a perfect game and won another game in a World Series.
A perfect game.
Right? Or a no-hitter. I mean, a texter correctly points out the National League Championship Series in 1986. Mike Scott of the Astros and his little file that he had to scuff down the baseballs, he won the NLCS MVP even as the Mets won the series and moved on of the World Series. So a dominant pitching performance in a losing cause, conceivable.
Tough, though. Tough.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're only going to get so many appearances. So like you contributed to 2 wins as a starting pitcher in a series that you lost.
Yeah.
In 6 or 7.
So it's just,
I actually don't think that's enough.
Mm.
Because assuming it would be 2, right? I mean, maybe if one pitcher...
If one of them is a perfect game.
If one of them is a perfect game or a no-hitter, or if one pitcher had 3 great appearances, you know, series went 7.
They lost 4-3, and one guy pitched really well 3 times.
Well, it's like that Royals-Giants World Series from a few years back. Madison Bumgarner wins it, right? But what if they lose that game?
What if they lose game 7? Yeah. Bumgarner should have won and probably would have won. That's a good point. He was ridiculous in that game, in that series. And yeah, because he started, came out of the bullpen. Yeah, that's a good one. Bumgarner would have been close.
Yeah.
And that's probably would have won it.
So congrats to Connor McDoink. And I don't know that we'll ever see it. We'll see it again in the NHL.
We'll definitely see it again in the NHL.
But I don't believe that we'll see it in the other 3 major sports.
Yeah, I think that's reasonable. So you think McDavid, because he didn't come out for the trophy. They announced him. He got booed.
Look, that's a very personal, choice and a personal
saying.
Moment. I mean, you get to define that.
To the ice.
You get to define that however you want.
Stop.
I mean, in modern life, I mean, doing it for the trophy, whatever. It's up to him. But no, he did not, to your point.
I don't even know what my point was anymore.
Good.
I'm just saying, I wonder.
But I've done my job.
Do you think he was happy?
Connor McDavid?
Do you think Connor McDavid is informed you won the Conn Smythe? Something that he probably dreamed about his entire life, a culmination.
No, I don't think he's happy.
When he gets that news, he's not happy.
No, of course not. But middle of the night, hey, I played pretty well.
Well, that's what I mean. So, like, Do you think he's happy today?
Today? No, not happy, but he holds on to it. There's a point of pride in there.
So you think he
What surgery does he need? I assume he needs like three different surgeries because that's how hockey players work.
All right. Better
he will
way
not be happy until it's time for the next contract, and he can use that as
You know, I did win the Conn Smythe.
Yeah. All right. So, but you're saying he wanted to win the Conn Smythe? Like, he wants to win it, even though he lost.
I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't know his soul. I have no idea.
I would.
End of the career, is he happy he has it?
Yes.
Probably yes.
Yes.
You think so? End of the career, he's happy
he has it.
If
there's no other cup?
It looks good. Yeah, it looks good on the Hall of Fame resume to have one of those.
That guy's a Hall of Famer. But, you're, I mean, yes, that is how it's measured, the all-time greatness. But if he – guy doesn't have a cup, though, man. Like, if he's defined by that, if he's Barkley –
Oh, God.
I think that ages really well. Like, if he's on a track for the Hall of Fame, but if people are like, damn, remember when he won Conn Smythe and they lost? That's how good this guy was.
Yeah. Yes, and the assist record is impressive.
The assist record is incredibly impressive, and he's one of those guys who's been thought of as a potential for the greatest player in the league, that one of the greatest all time, like those kind of things, and he delivered on that promise to the best of his abilities in these playoffs. So respect.
We'll put a bow on this thing. Parkin, speak on the score.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.